Value Market is Louisville's grocer. Since 1978, Value Market has been your neighborhood grocery store for all of life's best moments. Value Market gets it. Life is busy. That's why Value Market has curbside and delivery since 2013, freeing up more of your time for the more important things in life. Kids' ball games, family visits, work, tailgating, and cookouts. Value Market gets it. That's why Value Market has four area locations to serve your grocery needs. Mid-City Mall, Outer Loop Plaza, Aircoy Manor, and Mount Washington. At Value Market, you got savings in the bag. ValueMarket.com.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
That's his game. They don't get back. They would look, now look at his steal. Here's the steal. Three on one. Alley-oop. Oh, my goodness. Marcus Mendez.
And you certainly are in love with him here in Louisville. Marcus in the open floor. Hops. Incredible.
Get up, get up, get up, get up. Let's get ready for Marcus Maven. About midway to the midday with Marcus Maven. And you can call in, I lay back and just listen to Marcus Maven. So sit back and relax and watch Maven.
Break it down like this. Woo!
Broadcasting live from the OPC Pest Services Studio. Time for Middays with Marcus Maven on 93.9 The Ville. Now, here's Marcus Maven and Steve Rummage.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Middays with Marcus Maven here on 93.9 The Ville. Minus Marcus Maven today. Yeah, no Marcus Maven. But what we do have is a Catholic school takeover today. We have Chase in the booth. What's representing up? St. X.
Yeah,
whatever.
It's all right.
It's fine.
And
it's
then we've got...
Still love you, Chase.
Coach Lieberman and myself, Steve Rummage, in the studio representing Holy Cross. So we have a full... So Catholic schools rejoice today. As that's what we're running today from 10 to noon. It's gonna be fun, man. We can trash talk. We can, you know, or if you're in the public realm and you want to trash talk, that's fine too. We can do that. So
it's a battle royale.
It is. Well,
which is right up your alley.
Oh, absolutely. Which, by the way, I have so many trips planned coming up here. Oh my God! Listen, on July 24th, AEW Blood and Guts is in Nashville. I'm going to that.
Of course.
Yeah. Look, two rings, one cage comes over the ring. It's fantastic. Cannot wait. August 3rd, SummerSlam's up in Cleveland. Think I'm going to do that. Yeah, these are all on the weekends, too, so I won't be missing practice.
I'm jotting these down.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it's going to be good. Then you've got Royal Rumble is going to be in February 1st in Indianapolis at Lucas Oil, and then next April I'll be doing WrestleMania in Vegas. So I've...
And you're going to... We're going to squeeze in a Star Wars / Disney trip somewhere.
Yeah, well, I'm doing the Halloween Disney trip, which I am excited about.
Look at you.
Yeah, that's going to be fun, but I would like to do one where we could really nerd out, you know. And yeah,
that's going
to
happen.
Well, he says that. We'll see. I hope so. Chase, I appreciate you coming in last night or today. Nick texted me last night at 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock, right? And he's like, man, I just got off work. I don't know if I'm making in tomorrow. I'm like...
That's when he has dinner.
I'm like, dude, it's 11.
Yeah.
It's not 4 in the morning. Like, you'll be good, bro. Like, you know.
Yeah, that's not Nick-like.
11 right. O'clock? Like, no, yeah, what are we talking about here?
I think I've gotten...
Something else going on.
Yeah, I'm like, well, what's happening here, man? Yeah, so it's like, oh, man, just got off work. Just now leaving the restaurant. I'm like, okay, it's 11 o'clock. You get off early?
Come on, Nick. It's 11.
It's terrible, man. So, anyways.
But we do have Chase.
So well, we have Chase, which actually works out today because we're going to nerd out today a little bit with some basketball talk, some football stuff. Coach Brohm talked yesterday. And then, of course, we'll dive into some basketball stuff with U of L, with some other things, too. So, I've been watching a little bit of the USA versus USA Select. We'll talk a little bit about that. So, yeah, so some good stuff. So, anyways, it's good to have Chase with us.
Yeah, I'm excited. I haven't been on the show in a bit. I got soccer stuff going crazy right now.
I was going to say, you've been doing individuals, doing all the crazy stuff.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yep, and it's good. I love it, but then it makes me, you know, I'm ready for a little bit of a break before the season starts.
Sure.
Say next, JV.
Welcome to our world.
Yeah. I mean,
that's part of it.
And it's roster construction right now, man.
And that's one of the things, Chase. Like, a coach can't have a bad day. You know, no matter what the players have coming in, sometimes you got to fake it, but you can't have a bad day with workouts or whatnot. You just got to exude, like,
energy,
excitement and energy, all those type of things. But that's...
And then
it becomes something that's the norm for you. So you'll get through that. You'll break through that barrier.
I
am, though. I will say this, man. Just a little plug before we dive into some of this stuff. I am excited, man, about what is going on over at for a little promotion. What is going on over at Holy Cross, man? Like, nothing we can talk about yet, obviously. But, man, things are really coming together, and it's exciting, man. Like, yeah, you're doing a great job. Like, I mean, I say us. I mean, I'm enjoying being along with you and learning. But, like, I'm learning a ton as we're doing this. But, man, like, you got it rolling, man.
Well, you always surround yourself with great people.
Yeah.
And so hopefully I can find some.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know. Yeah, if you find a couple, it'd be great. Yeah, yeah.
They can just, you're the best.
Yeah.
So glad that you're a part of this. And it's just, it's a daily grind. And Chase, we were just talking about that.
Yeah.
That's the process. And I've always enjoyed building. And wherever I've been, we've been able to do that. And before I came to Louisville, I was at Monsignor Pace High School. So the Catholic school environment, I think, is fantastic. The leadership over there, just met this morning with our great AD Kent. He was fantastic.
I love Kent, man. I've known Kent for a while.
He's the best. And excited about what we'll be doing over there. And it's just players are excited, we're excited. It's gonna be a blast, my friend.
Well, don't get me wrong, I'm gonna be partial to Holy Cross, obviously, but I'll tell you what, one thing I am excited about, something that's been near and dear to this show's heart, and I won't lose this as we go forward, it's just the local scene. Like, I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about. Like, I'm most excited about winning because I want to win and we want to have fun. But just growing up in the local high school basketball scene, like, it's second to none, man. I mean, in Kentucky, you got one champion. You don't have four. Mm-hmm. You don't, that's rare when you go around that you have. Now, while, you know, myself, sometimes it's agitating because they set it up the only way they can with the 16 regions. I'm always kind of like, oh, it sucks because you like, well, six of the best teams in the state are here in the city, you know, but it's like only two are going to make it out of the city, you know, and you're going to have that. But man, it's just such a unique state, a unique how they do things. And I'm looking forward to like getting into these environments, man, and coaching and being involved. I mean, because people that know me know I might show up at any random high school game on a Friday night or a Tuesday night, you know, just because I like high school ball. It's like, I lived over at Norton Commons. We were talking about that right before. I would go over to, you know, Christian Academy. It'd be like, oh, Christian Academy in Ballard. You know, Tim Hayworth, my guy over at Mail. I love Tim. And, you know, Mail and Ballard plays. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I'm in there. You know, like, just a random game. Like, I love the atmospheres and the passion locally for high school basketball. So I'm just jacked to be involved in that.
Yeah. You know? No question. Like, this city, it's just, they talk about the big little city or what have you, but like just the fabric in like high school basketball. And that's where I started. Like if Rick Pitino hadn't hired me, I was content. I was happy. I love the fact that you're mentoring young people. You're teaching the game. It's just a blast. And like you said, just this area, it's been crazy. Yesterday a couple days ago, I was at a gas station. I'm wearing a Holy Cross hat. And the guy comes out. He was a Holy Cross graduate and all excited and talking to me. So yeah, this is it's going to be fun. This is a nice ride, and I'm excited about this. And high school basketball is fantastic.
No, it really is. It really is. It's a purity in high school sports that you just don't get anywhere else, especially now. I mean, which I'm not one where I don't think the NIL is taking the passion out of the game. Like, those guys dressed over there on Floyd Street are going to be playing their tails off. You know, like,
no,
I don't think that, but there is still that purity of high school ball that's fun, you know, where it's like, man, these kids are just, the majority of these kids, well, maybe not on our team when we're all said and done, but usually on most teams, you're like, majority of these kids will never play again. You know, it's like they're playing, they're giving everything they got, you know, and it's like, man, yeah, this is it. Like, this is fun. So excited about that. Looking forward to getting involved in that and stuff. And, you know,
the relationships you have there, it's so pure. You said it. So the players, I was down in Florida last week and just seeing a bunch of my former guys. And no matter what, they're talking about the purest time, the best experience.
God, yeah.
You know, it wasn't easy playing for me. It wasn't
sure.
And that was part of it. And they enjoyed that process.
I've learned that early.
So, but what they got through and what they learned, and that was where it didn't, you know, it's not like college basketball where it's bottom line with everything. It was so great just to feel their energy and to be around it. And now to do it again.
Coach is such a good dude, but like I will say, when he's in coaching mode, like he's kind of intimidating, man. I think we have a couple other guys that was helping us too. I think he scared them a couple times, like actually scared them. And I'm like, and even me, and I know him pretty well. I mean, I consider him a very, very close friend. And I'm like, hey, man, like, okay, you don't want to step in, and, you know, you're just kind of like, all right, let him go, and then I'll, you know, like, yeah, no, see, so you, like, listen, playing for coach, you got to be an elite. Like, you got to be one of the best of the best, man, to play under him, because the demand is incredible.
Coach Pitino came to, I think it was like the second time he came to a practice at Pace.
Yeah.
And our best player was sitting outside and wasn't happy and wasn't allowed back in that gym that day.
Yeah.
And as Coach Pitino walked in and saw that, he just had a big smile on his face and said, okay, this is my kind of guy.
This is my type of guy.
Because, look, and that player was Rakeem Buckles. And it wasn't because of Coach Pitino. It wasn't to show him anything, but Rock wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, and you know, Rock and I are our family. But
sure,
when you can coach your best players the hardest, I think that's players appreciate that.
And
they have BS antennas; they know those types of things. So look, it's not supposed to be easy. If it was easy, everybody can do it. And having what we're going to build there, and my new bestie, Stevie,
that's right,
with me, so it's gonna be a blast.
We're in, man. We're excited. We're excited. Speaking of coaches, I was telling Coach, I tried to get Reese. Reese is a friend of mine now, so me and Reese are friends. Which I tell him all the time. It's one of my most exciting things I get to tell people. I'm like, oh, Reese Gaines, that's my friend. My friend Reese Gaines. Yeah,
you're so lucky.
He texts me. Yeah, I'm like, me and that Reese is the one that I brag about. You know how, you know, like it's when you're in this profession, at first it's cool. You know, you're like, oh man, Damian Lee texts me. You know, like, oh, you know, you kind of want to name. Now I'm kind of past the point of quote unquote name dropping. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, whatever. Like, I get talked to a lot of people, but a lot of it's just because of the profession I am. Reese is the one I still brag about, though. I'm like, no, he's my friend. Like, he texted me, like, I woke up to a text one morning from Reese. It was just like, hey, man, proud of you, killing it, you know, whatever. And I was like, this is the greatest thing in my life.
When Peyton Ziva called
in. Told my wife, I was like, wake up. It's time. It's happening.
When Peyton Ziva called in, I'm really glad I didn't accidentally leave my mic on, because that was embarrassing.
See, but you're about the age that Peyton would have hit the way Reese did for me.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like, Reese, and when Coach Pitino first got here and that team, and they got up to number two, like, that was my, like, okay, now I'm, like, I watched Marcus and them, and I you know, I kind of, that's what started to get me into Louisville. But that was when I was like, okay, I'm arguing with my friends, I'm a Louisville guy, you know, and all that. So, yeah, like, now that we're friends, it's fantastic. So I tried to turn two of my really close friends against each other when Reese was in here. And I tried to get Reese to besmirch Coach Lieberman on last season. and they
as you've done on numerous occasions.
That's the one thing I hold against you.
Yes.
Yeah, that was tough.
You're not going to let that one go.
Nah, that because it was tough. Because I don't know, like, I know the coaches and players take it harder.
He's getting emotional.
I know, yeah, than fans, but I'm not sure. Like, that was one of the toughest times of my life, watching that game, and I was like, this ball's just not going to go in. Like, we can win this thing.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And you called a timeout, and you drew up a perfect play. But you know what? You're the head coach.
So there's winning, and then there's misery.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah, yes. And then there's just losing. And that's what we did, and I didn't like it. So, but anyways, point being, Reese had nothing but great things to say. All the former players that played in the TBT last year, and you do deserve some flowers for how good that went last year, regardless of the full result. Like, it wasn't about that as much as just how that became such. I mean, when you see today or yesterday, the ticket sales, mm-hmm. like Louisville's ticket sales are almost to 4,000 already. That's because of last year, like how fun it was, how it was, how hard they played. Because let's be clear, it ain't just about fun. Like the Louisville fan, you said BS meter earlier with players. Mm-hmm. The Louisville fan has a BS meter.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's why the Yum Center wasn't full last couple years, is because it's like, hey, if those guys are out there and it's just like, they're everything they got. It feels like from the head coach down, you're getting everything they got. They're just not good. I think you would still see more. It wouldn't be full, but you would have saw more than you saw. You know what I mean? Yeah.
Right.
So,
and you know what? Not to get off tangent.
Yeah,
and we'll
get
back.
By the way, 81-59-39-38-31-939 is the text line, the phone line. We'll get to whatever you send in.
But we made it a point to be.
Yeah.
Active on social media for people to have access to see what we were doing with the TBT team and have our guys out and about. And unfortunately, the last couple of years, you didn't know what the identity was of that team. And that's frustrating for people. So as scared as I was about what the product would look like, because as much time as you put in, it's such an unknown with the TBT.
Oh, yeah.
But you're just going to make sure. We were talking about it yesterday, like with what Coach Kelsey's doing. With the videos and all the promotion, you know, you're everybody's saying, well, you have to win now. Well, of course you do. That's
well,
the point.
Yeah.
That's you don't live in your fears. You're not saying, I'm not going to do all this and we better. No, that's you believe in yourself. You believe in your process. And that's what's happening now. So all that stuff and what we did last year with the TBT is, and what we're going to do with Holy Cross, you just want to make sure people know what you're about,
absolutely,
and promote it. And that's part of this. So that's the exciting part.
No, 100%. Let's get our guy Doc in here. I always like to chat with Doc. Doc, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing big, except I just want to reinforce everything you just said about the way Coach Lieberman works players, teaches with players, and understands the game and teaches the game. I had privilege of going through last season's TBT with him, and I mean, he is all that.
Yeah. No.
Thanks,
listen. He really
it's
is
good being around you.
Yeah, look, Doc, I appreciate you, buddy. Doc's the man, dude.
Yeah, he was at all our workouts.
Oh, he's.
You know, he
without revealing his identity, we have warned people, like, when he calls in, we're like, no, listen. Like, when Doc calls in, he's. Like, he's at every practice. I'm like, he knows what he's talking about. So he's not just calling in to talk, you know. I love Doc.
Yeah,
that's a heck of an endorsement, man.
I'll take it.
But I mean, it's what we were talking about. You, and this is what I think Reese and Luke and those guys, you set a standard for them. And look, this isn't pumping Lieberman up. I'm actually just talking about TBT. I like to pump Lieberman up sometimes, but you know, then I keep him. Maybe that's why I'm on the staff. I just keep him level.
Well, you need to keep doing that because you're not officially yet until you've signed your
deal.
But
yeah, that's a good
it's
point.
Close.
Well, maybe
so
I
keep,
should.
So keep pumping.
Yeah. So let's keep pumping. Yeah. Pump it all the way up. Here's the thing, though. Reese, listening to Reese and listening to those guys talk, and they're like, man, just, you know, the standard that was set, That's why you're seeing 36,000-38,000 tickets already sold, because there's a standard that's expected from Louisville fans. Yes. Now they're going knowing, hey, we're not just here to have fun. We can go have fun anywhere. But it's that, and then like you said, the promotion of it, which is why, and we're going to lump all of it kind of in together, Louisville, TBT, a little bit of everything. But that's why the videos and stuff like that are so important, and why that type of stuff, because you said it. Yeah, winning, we expect to win. We want to win. You know, the TBT, we want to win. I mean, if they go out there and they get beat by Bellarmine by 20, I mean, you're going to be like, well, that was stupid. You know, yeah, like, I mean, yeah, good for you guys. But it's just, you see the guys like Trez coming back and playing. Like, guys, they don't do that. If Trez isn't there last year and doesn't see the way this is, he doesn't come back and play. You know, like, that's a big risk for him to come back and play. You know, now I know he's wanting to kind of turn this into something, but when you're a borderline NBA guy and you play in the TBT, like it's uncomfortable to talk about, but it's a little bit of a risk to say, okay, you don't want to get labeled as a TBT guy, you know, like one of the NBA's, like, oh, you know, whatever. Like, but he knows, hey, what we're going to do here is going to look good, you know, like, so that's right. That's a massive, massive deal. Well, okay, let me ask you this real quick. Let's get nerdy for a second. Player, not real true story. You could have added any player to last year's roster.
Any player.
It don't have to be like a true story, like, oh man, we almost had this guy. And it was, like, if you're just fantasy Louisville booking, you could have added,
you know,
a player.
It was, I don't know. This is a guy that was around. I got to know him.
Yeah.
I didn't know him very well. And then he was at some of the workouts, and then I started working him out. And
yeah.
He and I developed a great rapport. It was David Johnson. He and I just became pretty close.
Yeah.
And
he's great.
He was at
great
everything.
Kid.
And I think the world of him.
Yeah.
So just having another really good player, but another character guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, the character of those guys, they were pros through and through.
Oh, yeah.
And they embraced the coaching.
Yes.
Like, those guys knew me from, like, look, Peyton Russ.
Oh, yeah.
I coached them, so they knew
how
I could be when I'm in my coach mode. And they embraced that. And I wasn't going to sugarcoat things. And everybody was fantastic. David was just great to be around. So,
yeah.
I would have loved to have coached him as well and
yeah.
have him be a piece of what we were doing.
Yeah, that would have been. What about you, Chase?
That's another Catholic schoolboy, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Hey,
yes,
Trinity kid, man. Look, that's
wrong
the
side.
Theme of the day.
Wrong side. But, no, I don't. So, I'm trying to think. Gorgie was not retired last year. That would have been awesome just because I love Gorgie. But David Johnson's probably up there. Is Carleek still playing pro? Like, would Carleek have been eligible?
It doesn't matter.
Oh,
I'm saying
okay.
you can fantasy book that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, gosh, that's tough. That makes it a lot tougher then, because I've got a bunch that I'm going to do about.
You can be a fanboy about this. It's all good.
Look, mine's Earl. That broke my spirit when Earl didn't play.
You know,
it broke my spirit.
It broke a lot of people's spirit.
Luke had to coddle me after that because I was like, look, I was such a loser. When we lost to Earl, I was like, we're not going to win again. Like, I went on air and pouted. I was like, this sucks. And then I think Luke texted me and was like, calm down. I was like, ugh.
We were talking on earlier, we were doing trivia on Drew's show about how difficult, people don't even understand all the logistics that went into just adding a player. So trying to get Earl, because he was playing in the Big Three and whatnot, and it was, there's like lawyers involved with
something.
Like, there's a lot to it. But that line, you mentioned it, the line's getting blurred with the TBT now. It's almost like, it's almost a way, almost like a summer league now for a lot of these guys to get contracts as well. So, but Earl would have been fantastic. I know him a little bit, not as well as some others, but we've spent some time together. It would have been great to have him.
Absolutely, sure. Absolutely. Yeah. But, and you said it too. You know, because it's so easy for us to sometimes get, I'm like, well, why don't they just get this guy? Why don't they just get this guy? Like, call that guy. You know, like, well why, you know, whatever. And it's like, man, you forget what goes into all these guys. And then you see a guy like Trez, and I think sometimes we're all like, well, if they got Trez, how you can just get anybody. It's like, well, yeah, but you got to look deep into the situation. Like, I mean, Trez has said as much, so I'm not speaking out of turn here. I mean, Trez has said as much going into this one that he's kind of using this as another. Mm-hmm. Trez is shooting for one more contract. You know, like, and again, I think he said this publicly, so I'm not speaking out of turn. But yeah, I think he's looking for one more contract somewhere, you know, and I think the deal would be get into this thing, man, and go to work, you know, and then put it in. It's like, that's a unique situation. You know, it's not like you could just go grab guys like that. Last year, you guys were dealing with David Johnson. Well, David's working on two-way contracts, you know, like he can't do that and this at the same time. So there's Earl with the big three, you know, like, I mean, there was...
We had another big name that was, we were deep into getting it done. Yeah. And then from his agent and from some other things
I wanted to play.
There, we just couldn't convince him. your agent wouldn't budge. It's like, no. You couldn't get off that number.
It's like I scored 8 points on Jared Carter, senior year in high school.
there was other guys.
Yeah,
and
so much,
our roster
man.
Was changing. And then to do it. So much, it's so consuming. Thankfully, we had so many great people that were involved with helping us. But at the last minute, all of a sudden something changes and it happens with rosters.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
With a lot of teams.
Just like, boom. And it's Steve Enoch. Yeah, Steve Enoch. I have a love affair with Steve Enoch. But
well, Steve was close with some of the things that we were doing too.
I know.
And that just fell through.
But Steve's making good money.
Right.
Like, Steve's playing in the top leagues over there. Pops Enoch's he's a loyal listener to the show. So, yeah, he's.
Loved him. Steve and I had a great. Steve was killing it. But there was just those roadblocks. Because there's just whether it's insurance, there's so many things that go into
you've met him, obviously, right? Yeah. He's such a great dude.
Yeah,
he's
I worked
great,
him out
I call him a
for
kid,
a little bit,
I mean,
and then he and I were on the phone quite a bit.
Yeah,
Kyle Couric was helping with that because they have a relationship overseas.
Mm-hmm.
It just didn't work out. It's like everything else, like in the pros with free agency.
Yeah,
there's a lot of moving parts.
Q Snyder, he was one like that's one that everybody was like, oh,
well, we were trying to get him a part. Part of it in some capacity, but obviously he was injured, and he's worked himself back into shape. But at that time, it was
there's a local love for Q. Like I think everybody look Coach Lieberman yesterday. I think I'm allowed to say this, but I'm gonna say it anyways. Coach Lieberman's like, you know, Q was the first guy recruited.
I didn't use that voice though. If you had just used the normal voice, that would have been fine.
I was like,
you're using Nikki's voice.
I was like, oh, was it the time he committed to Illinois? Did you recruit him that time?
No, I loved Q though because he improved so much.
He's like, I'll smile. I'm not gonna smile. It's like, no, he landed. I'm just kidding. But
he was the first my first recruit was Q.
Well, he had such a big name around here because I mean people remember he was a seventh grader. Everybody's like, you got to go see a seventh grader starting for Fern Creek, and it was like you remember he was at Fern Creek, you know. And everybody's like, oh man, this kid is stupid. He's a big Louisville fan, you know. So like his name, of course, his dad Scott, just an incredible dude too, you know. Love him.
He is.
And then he gets up, he goes to Ballard, and it was like Louisville fans just followed him from so young, you know, that it was always kind of perceived he would just be at Louisville. You know, it was like, hey, he's going to be a Louisville guy. Like, everybody knew, you know, and then it was like, oh, man. So it was kind of a weird blessing in disguise that I think it was it Jaquan Lyle? I can't remember who it was. That was somebody was there, and then it was like, okay, now he might go. He's going to go to Illinois, and it was kind of like back and forth, and yeah. But it was cool to kind of to get him, and I know everybody was really pumped about that. So yeah, his name obviously in something like this is always going to come up.
Names will keep flowing because it's and the memories that you were talking about Reese.
Mm-hmm.
And there, Chase was talking about Peyton.
Yeah,
everybody here has a memory of a player just making a great play or something in a game. And you know, to me, you know, PK Preston Knowles is one of my that's my guy.
He's been here with us a couple times.
We talk all the time. And
great dude.
You know, there's just what he did my first year.
Yeah,
with me and he was. Unequivocally the leader of that team.
Oh, and we all thought that team was going to suck.
Right.
Yeah.
There was Bridge year.
Yeah,
I'm there.
Perrin
I'm like,
was playing what? in the red white game. Perrin's my dude, but we were all like, oh, Perrin playing. We don't have enough players. Our two recruits are Russ Smith and Gorgie Jang. Like,
right?
It's like, we're done. Yeah.
And everybody's got, you know, and just what, how he helped me.
Yeah.
And just being a guy that no matter what, you know, you come in there as a high school coach.
Sure.
And you're running practices and you're doing stuff when Coach and Steve Masiello aren't there. And he was, you know, just one of those guys that was just embraced it from day one. Even Terrence Jennings, like, was great for me.
I would work TJ,
him out.
Man.
I'd work him out. He'd want extra work in the evenings and whatnot. And when you do that kind of stuff, when you get sweat equity with players, and they
absolutely,
they start to trust you. But Preston Knowles, guy for me, that just will always have a special place in my heart.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, let's do this. We're going to keep, we're going to stay in this air. Look, every time I get around Coach and I get on the air, look, I start wanting to ask questions about, look, he was talking about this season. I was like, oh, yeah, the next season, that was when. So I don't know. I might pick his brain. Pick his brain a little bit. But we got some other things we want to get to as well, though. We'll get to, I do want to get to the Cardinal commitment, back to the Cardinal commitment video with Chase and Coach, because I haven't got to chat about that with you guys. Hey, and look, we all love the Revival video. It's hilarious. It was great promotion. Look, it's a little corny. I love it. I love the fact that Kentucky fans hated it, but that one is more like fun. Chase is right, though. I'm like, it is an aphrodisiac to me when they show me practice video like that. I'm like, I don't even need my friends over Tri-State Men's Health. Like, the testosterone is through the roof. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. But we'll get back. We're going to chat about all this. Again, phone lines are open. Text lines open. Like to get to all that. Ray Spalding, Jalen Johnson. That's two really good ones. Love those two guys, man. Had both of those. No, we had Jalen in studio. Ray stood us up. Ray and Reggie. It's those Trinity guys, man.
I'm telling you.
No, they
Holy Cross guys,
super apologetic. No, absolutely not. Yeah. No, yeah, absolutely not. St. X. We'll see. All right, middays with Marcus Maben, 939 DeVille.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
If in love, this is all it calls, I guess I'll make the drive down past the Texas line to make sure he's not alive. Dumped him off of a river bridge in the fall of 84. Word got around, he climbed out of that muddy red river floor.
Welcome back. The days of Marcus Maben. Did you hear the new album yet?
Yeah, I listen. Yeah. I like
it. It's great.
I like
it. Yeah, it's great. I love what you know Zach Bryan.
I know I'm not.
He sings Revival, song that were the basketball team, Louisville basketball team and stuff. He is, me and Chase share him as one of our favorites. And so he just released a new album, and he's doing a tour around like these dive bars around the country.
Really?
Yeah. So like one of them's in Northern Kentucky that he's doing. And like, so this new album, it's kind of a, everything is kind of barish, like something he could sing acoustically in a bar. Like it's like, it's really good, though.
And that was one of his new songs?
No,
that's an old one.
That's an old one. Okay. Yeah, yeah. But I mean, that's kind of his style, regardless.
I like
but,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's fantastic. Yeah. You have to look him up. But the, oh gosh, what's the one I really like? American Bar Scene.
Yeah,
I think it's the new one.
That's the
name of the album.
But there's also one called The Great American Bar Scene.
Oh no, American Nights! Like
American Nights. Oh,
I love that song.
Okay.
Yeah. You have to check that one. You've heard it, probably.
Yeah.
I was a big fan of that.
I got to listen through again and get my favorites.
That's kind of me. That one hit me right off the bat. Some other ones, as I go through it again a few times, I'll be like, oh, I like that. But
you know when you just hear a song, it's just immediately. It's Shazamable.
Yeah.
Like you like it right away.
Yes.
Like that. Mm-hmm. I just immediately that was something that
crooked
I
crooked teeth, crooked teeth by Zach Bryan.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's fantastic. Yeah, so, yeah. So, anyways, it was good. But yeah, so we're back here. Coach Lieberman joining me, former U of L basketball coach, current Holy Cross head basketball coach. I just retweeted some stuff on Twitter, so we might have got some good news. So you can go read Twitter, check that out. You know, I mean, some of the top players in the state. You know, whatever. It's gonna be a good time. Chase in with us today, which is always fun. Love having Chase around.
I'm excited to talk about the video here.
Yeah, yeah, I am too. Yeah, we can get to that now. We've all watched it. Now here's the thing. Here's what I like. When you see, well, first off, I like the European style. Let me ask you that. Because Coach Cass was in the video. He's mm-hmm. obviously he's European, you know, well, he's Australian, but you mm-hmm. know, he coaches the European style, he coaches all that. Right off the bat, when people, okay, for somebody that's listening and they're like, okay, I keep hearing that. The European style, the overseas style. Again, I'm saying European, but Australian, just that league type stuff. Mm-hmm. What is the difference there? Like, if Coach Lieberman's saying, if I'm saying, okay, Coach, I've never watched basketball outside of the States, ever. Mm-hmm. What is the overseas addition that we feel like? Because Pat Kelsey, people are going to hear that a lot. Because Pat Kelsey is going to integrate that into his system. It's going to be a lot. He says, I study overseas ball. Like, I study European basketball. I study that stuff. That's stuff that I do. What is that in Coach Lieberman's terms? Like, you like The Office?
Of course.
Okay, good. Like, explain it to me like I'm five, you know, type thing. Yeah, so. Because I know you know so, that game.
Right, so Dan Hurley talked about that uh-huh. this offseason, how he, Kamani Young, Luke Murray, they spent a lot of time watching yeah. FIBA basketball and overseas. So you're talking about our country. First thing is, if you talk about American basketball, mm-hmm. it's more ball dominant, mm-hmm. which means it's more high ball screens, actions with the ball, trying to create off the bounce. You talk about European basketball, there's much more player movement. There's much more where you're guarding actions, whether it's hammer screens or just step ups and reverse, just trying to be more deceptive probably. Yeah. But European basketball is all about getting players to move, getting the ball to move, to getting the defense to slide and get to compromise them and get them out of position. And not that they don't use ball screens or attack off the bounce, and you understand everybody will do that. But in our country, that's what you'll see. You'll see so much yeah. of where it's almost NBA-esque at times, where here's the sure. high ball screen, guys in the corners waiting to, are you coming off or create and shoot? That's why you watch. Look, the first two picks of the draft were guys from overseas. Jokic, his passing ability. Yeah. If you want, the biggest thing is if you can't pass, you really can't play
the game.
That guy
that went number one is, but I'm sorry, I'll just say.
I'm not saying that this was a good draft.
He sucked. He's not going to make it.
Tell me how you really feel.
Yeah, I'm sorry. He's just not going to make it. I don't know how they did not go Alex Saar. And I'm not hugely overly sold on Alex Saar, but that guy that they took number one, that to me was a typical Darko. Well, I mean, he's big and he moves, and it's like,
oh. Chase, Bennett. As you know, this sorry. I was really getting into rhythm about explaining
sorry,
the game,
dude.
And then Steve just jumped sorry. In with the fact that he didn't like this.
This is how our practices go.
I was locked in too. That was I was zoned in.
I'm like Mike Patrick. What is Brittany doing with her life? You remember that? Remember that clip? They're about to. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, that's me. I'm so sorry.
Back, do not have to apologize.
Yeah.
It's just that. Yeah. Passing is such a dominant trait of overseas basketball. Yeah. And I've always said, if you can't pass, you can't play.
Sure.
And understanding angles and not just passing out of convenience. Mm-hmm. Passing to understand where guys are moving and the movement of guys and the attention getting cuts is so different than what you'll see. Maybe the athleticism is different. And so you'll see, even though it's the bridge is and that gap is closing.
Yes.
But it's to say that when you watch a game that's overseas and you watch so much of the movement by the players, it's fascinating. And there's always a reason for where they're going to be
yeah.
and players trust as far as that goes.
Absolutely.
So I think that's the big difference. If you're going to say, okay, our country, it's more guys are going to try and create with the ball, where overseas you can expect the ball without actually having it in your hands all the time.
Okay, so in the video, we all see it. So it was the big man. Yeah, I call him Coach O, right? So yeah. They're coaching bigs, you know, and you see them working on back to the basket type stuff. But here's my thing. You look at our bigs, and it's something me and you've talked about off the air, just with Holy Cross, with different things. I don't know that you have to have a back to the basket guy right now. It's weird because basketball fluctuates. Just trends fluctuate. And there for a while, it was, man, like, do you remember Greg Oden and those guys? Don't rewrite history. When it was Greg Oden and Kevin Durant, people were like, you can't pass on a true center. You cannot pass on a true center. Like, I know Durant's ceiling might be higher, but you can't pass on. I was explaining this to my son, because my son was like, man, like, we were talking about draft bots and stuff, and he was like, didn't, like, Greg Oden, my son's only 15, he's like, get picked over Kevin Durant? And I'm like, yeah, son, but let me take you back to that moment. It was like, oh, this is a true big, man. Like, you don't pass that up. A true big or a true point, you take him number one if he's that dominant. Whereas now, that doesn't seem like that's as important anymore. Like, and when you look at Louisville's bigs, I don't know that Louisville has a back-to-the-basket big right now. Like, I mean, Frank Anselm maybe is a little more that way because the other guys are not. They're wing guys. They're guys that can play on the perimeter. They're guys that can move. Like, so in that style, like, is...
So that's another thing, European effect. If you don't have both feet in the paint, and teams aren't really... If they're running that action, whether they're setting back screens, whether you're coming off of a chin action, which is a back screen where you can read and roll back, and those bigs are setting it, those bigs will pop out. But if you're not, don't have both feet in the paint, and you're not in a scoring position, you become a facilitator.
Yes.
And you play through them as a passer. Then you get action. So there's another difference. You watch American basketball, it's a lot different. You won't get as much split action, meaning if you pass into the post and they're off the block, now that guard is going to, and you saw that sometimes with Princeton or even the Utah Jazz in the old days.
Sure.
Those guys are going to move and cut and occupy. While on the other side, off the ball, here comes a hammer screen, and that big is now passing, knowing there's going to be a guy cutting to the corner.
Right.
The Spurs run a lot of that stuff. So there's always European basketball being implemented.
Their new lineup, they'll be able to do that like crazy.
No question.
Yeah.
So you see that. But look at Brook Lopez, right?
Yeah.
His first 8 or 9 years in the league,
Did we play them? You weren't here yet when we played them.
No.
Okay.
No, I wasn't.
We beat the crap out of them. Yeah, yeah.
I think it was like I came a year or two after.
8, 09.
Yeah, or my 08, first year was 10.
Yeah.
I think he shot 14 threes in his first 8 years, and now he's averaging, what, 400 or 500, you know, attempts.
Yeah.
It's because that term, the stretch five.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's a good thing because I learned early on from Billy Donovan, like, he would never just say, okay, bigs over here, guards over here, you're going to work on your post moves. No, he would have guards working on playing around the basket. He'd have his bigs being able to handle the basketball, pass the basketball, create for others.
And Jesus, Al Horford's still in the league doing that.
Exactly. Now, what has he become?
Right?
He's a spot-up shooter.
Absolutely.
And you watch him, it spaces the floor. Mm-hmm. It does a lot of things. I was asked about the fact that Louisville basketball this year doesn't have a true big guy.
Right.
That's fine, because now you have to guard a Kaysen Pryor on the perimeter. You have to guard those guys who, in transition, it's really hard for defensively to get out and contain the ball, whether you're corralling, whether you're blitzing, whether you're switching, and then recover back to a big who can step out and shoot. It's changed. And you watch the Celtics. Brad Stevens, a huge analytics guy, right? They're passing up wide open twos to kick out for threes, and that's another influence of the European game.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you also mentioned, you talked about Kevin Durant and Greg Oden. The biggest one of all time, right, is what? Sam Bowie
over Jordan.
Being picked over Jordan. I remember Bobby Knight's quote about that. He's like, you better take Michael Jordan. They're like, well, we have Clyde Drexler. We need a center. Then play Jordan at center.
Yeah, because, yeah, you know, he's better.
That's in your spot on. You don't have to have bigs that solely can just play around the basket. And you know what? Young kids now, what do they want to do? They want to step out and shoot anyway. But you have to learn the whys of doing it.
Yeah, and I mean, even at Louisville, I mean, like this texter says, Padgett was probably our last true big. I would say Nanu was probably our last true back to the basket big. Because even Gorgie, I mean, and you could speak to this better than I could. Obviously, you coached him. But even Gorgie, I mean, I think Gorgie's ability his junior year to step out and hit the free throw lane jumper, mm-hmm. like that. That's what put him in the first round. Like, that got him drafted, in my opinion. Like, because, I mean, he just picked Syracuse apart. And that was something that wasn't in his game. But Gorgie's big man identity was his able to protect the rim. So it's like, it wasn't so much that Gorgie was just like Mr. Big, you know. It was like, no, he's a rim protector, though. So, I mean, you've got him around there, which was obviously big. See, to me, that's what I like in my bigs. I'm more worried about what – I think everybody immediately goes to, well, what can they do offensively? I'm like, no, I don't care. What can they do defensively? Like, if they're not a true presence on the post offensively, I can live with that. We can – as long as they're skilled. Like, I mean, you don't want a big goof out there, you know, that's just stumbling around. But, I mean, when you look at guys like Honest Mahmoud and that little run we had there with Mango mm-hmm. and Honest, that you –
I was before. Not. That was after me.
Okay. Yes. And Mango was coming in the year you left.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But I mean, those guys were, it was like, yeah, they can, they're not awesome post guys, but they're so good defensively. Like that, I don't know. Like that, to me, that's what matters. And with our team this year, I look at Case and Pryor, I look at those guys. They're very talented offensively. Are they true bigs? No. But I mean, look at their shot blocking when you go down and you look and you say, okay, what can, James Scott, his shot blocking, his numbers are good for the amount of minutes he's played. Case and Pryor, same thing. Noah Waterman, same thing. It's like, to me, that's the bigger deal. Again, that might be me specific, but.
Great defensive plays happen when somebody makes a mistake. So if you get beat off the bounce or you get back cut, you need someone to erase that.
Yeah.
And if you have someone who is bouncy as a mm-hmm. big that is going to do that, especially when you have. And so they don't have to be overly skilled, but if they're great screeners, if they can do other things offensively, then that's great.
Sure.
But you also need guys that are absolutely rim protectors, and you see that.
Yeah.
We were talking about the guy from Dallas that you had to look up his name. Was it?
Oh, the big.
Yes. And I said, look, he's not a guy, unless he's got both feet in the paint or he's got a lob, then he's in the dunker spot. He's going to mm-hmm. score. Other than that, he's not going to score.
Right.
But he's going to change the game from a defensive standpoint.
Absolutely.
And especially with a shot clock.
Chase, you had something. What was you going
to
say?
I was just saying, there's gives and takes, right? Like, I knew when we got those guys, like, offensively, they're great already. Like, you can kind of just tell. I mean, they're pretty polished.
They have a tool belt. Like, that. Yes, that's a, you can tell that right off the bat that they're not just, I guess you could say, a ratchet. You know, where it's like, okay, they can do a lot.
Yeah, defensively, like, I worry about their post defense, mm-hmm. but am I willing to give that up for what they can do offensively? Probably. And I, like you said, like, they rim protect well.
Yeah.
I don't know, you know, I don't know much about.
But how many bigs in the country are, I mean,
Chase.
And I know it's funny because you just watched a national title game with Zach Edey and Donovan Klingon, mm-hmm. which was kind of a big man matchup.
Right,
you
that
know.
Is kind of like a throwback.
But to me, that's not the norm in college basketball.
No, I'm not saying it's a big concern.
It's an anomaly for sure.
Yeah.
What concerns you as far as the bigs you're saying defensively?
No, I think size-wise, like not height-wise, but size, like weight-wise, right. They might get pushed around by a couple people. It's not like an overarching concern for the whole season. It's
if you're looking at numbers-wise, how many guys are back mm-hmm. to the basket, Zach Edey, for example. But you counter that with either fronting the post. You can have tremendous ball pressure. There's different ways you're going to scheme that. You can double and fire down with another big. I think the guys they have such good activity that they're going to be fine, and they move so well. So what we were just talking about, them helping out, and because you got to be unselfish defensively. Everybody talks about being an unselfish offensive team. You've got to be a really unselfish defensive team to be good. So if you can understand and give early help and be active and be long, then the guys that they have can fill those type of spots. And when you, I prefer those type of guys because they can be really active on ball screens. They can be really active in transition. To get your defense set and to have an anchor and have those guys back, rather than having a guy that's, what was Connecticut trying to do on Purdue? Just run the floor.
Absolutely.
And that's what you're getting with the bigs that Louisville has in place. It's going to be hard to beat them in transition. When those guys, those first three steps, and they're athletic enough to get back, that's the first part of getting your defense set.
I could definitely see, like, I see the way that you can use it to your advantage and kind of make another team play your style.
Course, it's coach-centric, too. I mean, you know, it's style-centric, I guess you could say. I mean, with how you're going to run things, how you're going to, like, I mean, I know at Holy Cross, listen, you're going to have to play defense. Like, that's one thing I know with being under Coach Lieberman. Like, you have to be willing to play defense. You know, now, we don't want a bunch of offensive lugs.
That's the thing with coaching. Like, you get really good players who are talented.
Yeah.
And then you got to get them to understand how to play hard on every possession, that they have multiple effort. Mm-hmm. Their motor is nonstop.
Yeah.
And that's the trick. And doing things that they're not usually comfortable doing.
Yeah.
But that's the fun part.
Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, that was a fun first hour. Let's do this. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll get into a few more things. Basketball, football, a little bit of everything. Appreciate the text. We'll keep those rolling and get to some more of them that I've passed. And we'll have some fun, man. This is good. This is a good little. I like this triangle here. I like this threesome. Can we say that? Okay.
You just did.
I did. So let's do that. All right. It is Marcus Maven, 93.9 The Fish.